So remember the parts of a movie now as we start to analyze some of the movies. What we did in our college class, when I teach this in college, is the next week we actually watch a movie and then we analyze it. Okay? Well, remember, there's a theme, okay? A hero has a goal. There's an adversary that with opposing values and worldviews. The hero has a flaw. That's one of the reasons I did not like the Wonder Woman movie. She had no flaw. What was her flaw? She always thought pure. All her motives was always pure. She had no, you couldn't kill her. You know, everything she did was successful. I mean, she had no character flaw, you know, and stuff, right? Did she have a character flaw? I don't think she had one. So that's why, to me, the movie was boring. Now, like the Batman series, okay? You know, yeah, well, because when she goes fighting the Germans, like, oh, she's not going to die. Ah, she kills them all. Her shield and her medieval sword, and she kills every, you know, she kills an entire battalion of German special elite forces, you know? So boring. Anyway, but like the Batman series, the Dark Knight, right? That guy has a flaw, right? And he's wrestling with it throughout the whole movie, you know, and stuff to overcome. Whereas Wonder Woman, I mean, she's got no flaws, right? She just, whatever. Okay, so that's why I found it boring. Anyway, okay. So the character flaw, okay, the apparent defeat, the final confrontation, and then the redemption message, okay? So those are the components. Every movie has that. Every movie, okay? Every movie you watch. Okay, by the way, I got this from Brian Godawa's book, okay, Hollywood Worldviews. He's an award-winning producer, okay, Brian Godawa, and he's a Christian, okay? So I got this from his book, Brian Godawa, Hollywood Worldviews. All right, let's take a look at some movies. How many of you saw Avatar? Okay, good. Okay, Avatar. What's the theme? What's the theme of Avatar? Any guesses? Come on, guess. Huh? What's the theme? Environmentalism. Environmentalism. That's the theme. The Na'vi live in a pure, pristine paradise, right? I mean, how many hours do they spend in the movie showing you just how beautiful that planet is? It's a pristine paradise, okay? And the question is, when you see the movie and you see just how beautiful that planet is, the question you should be asking is what? How is it so beautiful? The Na'vi populate this planet, and it's still the Garden of Eden. How is that possible? And that's what you're asking, right? Well, hopefully that's what you're asking, right? Because he spends so much time showing you the beauty of the planet, and you ought to be going, how do they keep it so beautiful? You got thousands of Na'vi that live here, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. It's Eden, right? Now, the hero of the movie is who? Huh? It's that Marine, right? Jake Sully. Okay, he's a paraplegic. Okay, and he's a former Marine. And he's the one that ends up incarnating into that Na'vi, right? And becomes one of the blue people. All right? What's his goal? You remember? What's Jake Sully's goal, huh? Yeah, be able to walk again, right? That's what he wants. And so if he will take on the incarnate into the Na'vi, infiltrate their culture, you know, pretending to be one of them and gain all this intelligence so that, you know, when these Marines come, they can easily defeat the Na'vi and get to the ore that they want, okay? Now, the adversary is who? Who's the adversary? Yeah, the colonel, right? Jake Sully's officer that is above him, all right? He wants to exploit the planet and get that ore. And he didn't care about the natives, right? In fact, he'd rather wipe them out, right? And get that ore for the energy for planet Earth, okay? Now, Jake has a character flaw. What is it? Almost, that's part of it. What's his character flaw? What's his bride trying to teach him? What about nature? Yeah, Jake has the wrong worldview. Okay, Jake has the wrong worldview. He sees the planet as lifeless, just, you know, a piece of biology that we can take its resources and use any way we want. She teaches him what? The planet is alive. And they worship Awa, right? They worship Awa, whose energy is concentrated in this tree, right? Awa is not a person. Awa is a it. She's the energy, the life of the planet. She's the energy, okay? And they become one with Awa, right? Through meditation, by emptying their mind, they become one with Awa, all right? And as a result, they feel and become one with the life force of the planet. And because they worship the planet, that's why you have a pristine paradise. That's why, okay? That's why the planet is the Garden of Eden still. We humans have the wrong worldview. That's why we've destroyed planet Earth, okay? And when we come to the planet of the Na'vi, we're going to destroy it too, because we're not pantheists. We don't worship the Earth, all right? And that's Jake's character flaw. He's got to change his worldview, okay? Now, the apparent defeat in the movie is what? The apparent defeat is when Jake betrays the Na'vi and they realize he's actually working for the humans to come and take the ore from their sacred tree, and he now has to win their trust back, right? And in the final confrontation, Jake faces the humans, right, led by that colonel, okay? And in the end, what's the difference in their values and worldview, What's the difference that's revealed? Yeah, why does Jake want to save the planet from the humans? Because he's realized the planet is to be worshipped, right? The planet is alive, okay? And it must be protected and worshipped, okay? And that the humans coming to exploit the planet of their resources are doing what is unjust, okay? And so they have a final confrontation, and the Na'vi, though they're fighting with spears and stones, they defeat the humans and send the humans home, all right? So the redemption theme is what? If you want the Garden of Eden again here, you need to become a pantheist like the Na'vi. Okay? Once you become pantheist like the Na'vi, we can win the environmental battle here on planet Earth. Okay? That's the story of, and that's the message that they're trying to get through in Avatar. Okay? Now, the questions to ask is what? What worldview is it built on? Well, pantheism. Is that theme true? If we become pantheists, will the earth become the Garden of Eden again? Huh? No? Why not? How do you know? If we worship nature, won't we get Eden again? Huh? You gonna get sick? How do you know? Right? If that were true, New Delhi, Calcutta be the most beautiful cities in the whole world, right? But when you go there, they're what? They're the most disease-ridden, polluted cities you're going to find anywhere on planet Earth. Why? Well, they're pantheists. Why? Well, they got the wrong view of the environment, okay? It's the wrong view of the environment. We don't worship the environment. We steward over it and use its resources wisely, okay, and care for the environment, but we don't worship it, all right? Okay, but you won't get Eden if you're a pantheist, okay? Instead, it's really the Christian worldview, okay, that produces the best, cleanest, most advanced kinds, civilizations that we have, okay? Now, is that a great discussion you can have with young people? You bet. You just sit down and talk about the environment. Are young people concerned about the environment? Yeah, that's one of the top three. That's why Avatar was so popular. A lot of young people, if you read my article on Avatar and the search for Eden, a lot of young people are depressed because they saw the planet of Na'vi and realized we've lost it here on this earth. We can never have that again. Okay, and they're all depressed about it. All right? And how do we get it back? Is that something young people want to talk about? You bet. You bet. Man, I discussed this thing for hours at Starbucks with young people on Avatar. Okay? And they say, you know, when it comes to environment, the pantheists don't have the answer, nor do the naturalists. You know who does? The Bible. Really? The Bible? What does the Bible say about the environment? Well, let me tell you. There you go. Boom. You're in a discussion about God and the environment, and the gospel comes right on in. And did you know? We'll never have Eden again, but there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth where everything is restored. Really? What's it look like? Well, let me tell you. Boom, you're in the gospel already, okay? All right. How many of you saw this movie, The Truman Show? One person saw this? Oh, two. Three. Yeah, see, I got to update my movies, man. Okay, the reason I picked this one is because this one's really profound. This one is really profound. If you haven't seen it, you ought to go see it. Okay? What's the theme? Paul, you remember the theme? Yeah, okay. Truman lives in a reality show, and he doesn't know it, right? Because he was born in a studio, which looks like a neighborhood. Okay, he's huge, huge, must be 10 times the size of Cowboy Stadium. But it's a studio, and he's been on a reality TV show ever since he was born, and he doesn't know it, all right? But he's been living on a reality TV show, and they give him a wife and a house and a job and everything. But he thinks he's in the real world. He doesn't know it. Okay, and they're following him for all his life. All right? So he's the hero here. Okay? Now, what's his goal? What's his goal? He sees this magazine, travel magazine of like Tahiti or Samoa. Okay? And so his goal is to go somewhere exotic like Tahiti or Fiji, and to find his true love. The wife he's married to doesn't really love him, okay? And he doesn't know it, but she's an actress, okay, who's been acting and doing commercials in this reality show posing as Truman's wife, and he knows he doesn't really love her, okay? But he meets this other girl, and there's actually a relationship there. But as she wants to tell him, you're living a lie, you're in a reality show. But before she can tell him, they get rid of her. Okay, they drag her off the screen. All right, off the set. Okay, the adversary is the producer of this whole thing. Okay, his name is Christoph. Okay, Christoph. All right. And he's built this whole studio for Truman, okay? Now, the character flaw of Truman is that he fears disobeying the sovereign laws of Christoph, okay? And Christoph told him, don't venture off the island or the ocean. And Truman is afraid of the ocean, okay? And he's afraid of disobeying Christoph, okay? And eventually, Truman realizes there's something wrong in his community. He finally figures out that something is wrong, and he wants to escape the town he is in. So he eventually gets into a boat, and he goes into the ocean. Well, Christoph creates a huge storm, and, you know, Truman's afraid of the water, right, and his crash. And then it looks like Truman is going to turn around and go back. But then he doesn't. Okay, he ends up charging ahead, and he ends up running into the wall of the studio. And when he rips the paper, there's a door there. And Christoph comes, you know, a sunset appears, and the voice of Christoph speaks. Okay, he says, Truman, Truman. And, you know, he's looking up at the sky, and he says, and that's the final confrontation. He says, Truman, stay. Stay here. It's safe here. It is safe. I built this for you. I built this whole thing for you to enjoy. I've given you everything you need. It's safe here. Stay. Outside that door is a cruel world, and you have no idea what it's like out there. But stay here where it's safe. And in the end, that's the final confrontation. And Truman, in the end, what does he decide, Paul? You remember? Exit the door and exit the studio, and everybody applauds. Okay, everybody watching. It's the number one reality show in the world. Everybody watching from Japan to the United States to Europe all applaud as he goes out the door. Okay? Yes. Okay, now what's the theme of the whole movie? The theme of the movie is this. Belief in God and religion leads to slavery. Human autonomy, discarding religion, leads to a more dangerous world, but it leads to freedom. Okay? So in this world, in this movie, Truman means what? True man. Okay? He's the true man. Christoph means what? Christ off. Get Christ off. Okay? So the whole theme is that God has created for us this perfect world, but it's an illusion. And you can keep believing in your God and your heaven and how he's working things in your life for good and all of this. And that leads you to bondage. Okay? That leads you to bondage. All right? No sex till you're married, no drugs, you know, can't do anything. But get rid of religion, which is an illusion anyway, like the studio. Venture into the world, autonomous of God. It's more dangerous, but you're free. And that's what it means to be a true human. Okay? That's the message of the Truman Show. Okay? So the question you should be asking is what? Is it true? Okay. Is that message true? No? Why not? It's Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. What else? Yes? Yeah. True freedom is actually found in Christ. Otherwise, Paul says you're a slave to sin, right? Actually, a life without God puts you in bondage, right? A life with Christ really gives you freedom to be the true man or the true woman. All that you were ever meant to be is found in Christ. Okay, so this is actually the gospel message turned upside down, okay? But, okay, you watch that. It's a powerful movie with a very powerful message, okay? One that's we see all the time. Religion is the problem. Get rid of religion, and we find true freedom or true happiness or whatever it may be, okay? That's the Truman Show, all right? Now, discuss this with young people. Man, you discuss for hours this kind of stuff. Okay, what movie? We'll do one more. What? Which one you want to do? You want to do Star Wars? You want to do The Matrix? Or you want to do The Titanic? Which one you want to do? Titanic? Oh, okay, Titanic. Oh, what a surprise. Wow. Okay. Who's the hero in Titanic? Huh? No, it's the girl, right? Or whatever her name. Rose. Rose, okay. What's her goal? I fell asleep in a movie, okay? I watched it 3 times. And I fell asleep every time. Okay? So, anyway. All right. Rose, what's her goal? What's her real goal? Yeah. Okay. Freedom. Freedom to find her true love and get out of the societal bondage her family has her in. Okay. Who's the adversary? Who's the adversary? Yeah, her mother and her fiancé, okay, who want her to stay in the confines of their social structure and marry the man she does not love, but marry him because he is wealthy, okay? So she finds herself in bondage there. Okay, what is her flaw? What is her flaw? What's her flaw? She's afraid, right? She's afraid to go against those societal norms and do what she really wants to do, okay? And to live free, all right? Well, she meets DiCaprio named Jack Dawson, and what transformation takes place as a result of those two being together? Right. And what happens to her? Yeah. Because what does she see? Yeah. Because with these guys who are poor, she finds true joy, true happiness. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Teaches her how to have fun and true freedom. And that is what she comes to love about Jack and all that. And she's willing to, and the question is she willing to forsake her family desires and the societal bondage she's in to find her true freedom? Okay, now there's an apparent defeat here. What's the apparent defeat? Yeah, the Titanic sinks, and what happens to her love, her true love? Yeah, he dies in the icy water. Okay, now the final confrontation comes when? At the end of the movie, right? At the end of the movie, her family is there, and everyone's looking for her, and the captain of the ship comes and asks her, "What is your name?" And she says what? She says, "Rose Dawson." Right? Rose Dawson. And as a result, her family and her fiancé don't find her, and she goes on to live her life free, okay? And breaks free of those societal norms, all right? So that's the redemption story where she transforms, where she realizes societal norms, money, and wealth is not what it's all about. It's about freedom, okay? And pursuing the things I truly love in freedom, okay? And she goes for it, all right? So what's the theme of the movie? Theme is ultimate. The theme is what? Freedom. Yeah. True happiness is found in one's freedom, right? Not to live as society or others want you, but to live free. Okay. Yeah. All right. Is there a worthy message there? Huh? Is there a worthy message there? And before I came to Christ, who was I living to please? Huh? Oneself or parents and everyone else around me. I want their respect. I want their admiration. I want their adoration. Did I ever get it? No. My dad always called me stupid. Football, I was never the all-star, okay? I was the wide receiver, but okay, you know. I mean, when they carried me off the field injured, the cheerleaders go, 2, 4, 6, 8, who do we appreciate? Number 6. They didn't even know my name, you know, and stuff. So I never got it, okay? But that's what I'm living for. I got to have the right clothes. I got to play the right sports. I got to have the right. Is that bondage? You bet. When I came to Christ, what happened? Why? Yeah, I realized, you know what? I'm not there to please these folks. I'm there to please him and him alone. What does he want for me? Okay, so what if everyone else criticizes or makes fun of me, or I'm not, you know, the admired one in high school? Don't matter anymore. I found my freedom, okay? I broke out of that bondage and found true freedom in Christ, okay? See? Similar to a theme here, okay? All right, you want to do one more? Huh? Okay, which one you want to do? Huh? Star Wars or The Matrix? Star Wars, okay. All right, Star Wars. Okay, this is the Return of the Jedi. The last one. Okay, but actually it's what, number 3 in the series? But this is actually really the last one, okay? All right, who's the hero in this one? Huh? This one's a little tricky. Who's the hero? Darth Vader. Darth Vader is actually the hero of the whole Star Wars series. He is the hero. What's his goal? Uh-huh. Okay. Control, bring balance to the universe, whatever. Okay. Who's the real adversary here? No, not Obi-Wan. Not the Force. Huh? The pilot? Oh, Han Solo? No, not Han Solo. Who's the real adversary? The evil emperor. He's the adversary who turns Anakin to the dark side, who's controlling the empire, who wants to rule over the empire. Okay, he's the adversary. All right? What's the flaw in Anakin Skywalker? What's his flaw? Yeah, he has turned to the dark side, okay, by giving in to his desires, okay? He's turned over to... Now, there's an apparent defeat here. What's the apparent defeat? What's the apparent defeat? Well, he's given over to the dark side, and in fact, he almost even kills his son, right? To keep his power and to be in control, under the control of the emperor and rule the galaxy. And he tempts his son to even join him, okay? To join him in the dark side. Okay, the final confrontation happens when? Luke doesn't kill Darth Vader. I mean, Darth Vader dies as a result, but what's the final confrontation? The Emperor, okay? The Emperor, when Darth Vader and Luke fight and the Emperor in the Emperor's presence, okay? And Luke defeats Darth Vader and he is ready to kill Darth Vader, right? And Darth Vader says, kill him. I mean, the Emperor goes, kill him, join me in the dark side, right? And that's the final. And Luke, if he kills him, Luke's going to succumb to the dark side. But in the end, what does Luke do? He stops, right? He throws away his mirror. And then as a result, the Emperor, with his whatever, tries to kill Luke. And that's where the redemption story comes, right? The transformation in the hero. What happens to Darth Vader? He grabs the Emperor and he kills the Emperor. All right? And he returns from the dark side, okay, back to good. Right? And that's the redemption story. That's how it ends, with the death of Darth Vader. But he has returned back, right, from the dark side and returned to the good side of the Force. Okay? And that's the redemption story there, all right? So the theme, you know, is how is balance restored, right? How was it lost? Well, because of imbalance of the Force. How is it restored? When balance is restored, that's what. Classic Taoism, right? That's classic Taoism right there, right? The yin and the yang and all that. That life is... not live with good triumphing over evil, but a balance, right, of light and dark, good and evil, death and life, all living in a balance, okay? And that balance must always be held. Once it's out of balance, then life goes awry, okay? Classic Taoism there, okay? All right, so that's a little bit of how to watch a movie, okay? They all have the same storyline and redemption theme. So when you watch a movie, those are the things that you look for, okay? And that's the way you analyze, and you can really have great, intelligent discussions when you're watching movies, okay? All right, any questions on what we covered? No? Okay. Very well then. This weekend, go and enjoy the movies. Okay. All right, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for our time together. We pray we will be wise and discerning as we watch the movies, learn the great themes, learn to analyze them, and have great discussions about these great ideas being conveyed in the movies. And may we use it as a vehicle to understand culture, understand the ideas that we're up against, but also use them in a redemptive way to engage our culture and redeem this world for your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. We'll see you next week when we talk about, Just War and Terrorism. Okay, Just War and Terrorism.